Thought about that song they used to sing, Ain't God Good, to give us so many blessings. Oh yeah, we went and ate lunch. He drove himself all the way here from Fayetteville. He drove out here Thursday, and we went to the trading post up here and ate lunch, and he just talked our ear off, about 90 to nothing. Man, I'm telling you, people, you just don't understand what you're witnessing this morning. Let me just tell you something. That's as good as Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Oh, you listen to me. That's just as good as Lazarus walking out of that tomb that day. And we're getting to see that. What we deserve is hell. Amen. We deserve bankruptcy and divorce court and child support, but that's what we get. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 27. I'm going to preach. Amen. Yeah. Acts chapter number 27. Paul is a prisoner, and they're boarding a ship to sail to Rome. And Paul has a bad feeling about it. And Paul tells them, fellas, I don't think we ought to make this trip. It ain't going to be good. But they make the trip anyway. And just as Paul said, in the middle of the trip, the ship hits a storm. And it's a storm to them. Hey, Brother Scott, good to see you. And it's a storm to the magnitude that they name it. That's the first time I ever thought about it, reading this yesterday. We have storms, but when they're really bad, we name them. Maybe that's where that comes from. It was bad enough, they named it Euroclodon. That sounds like a bad dude, don't it? Amen. Your name, Euroclodon, you got to be a pretty bad fella just to live up to that name. Amen. I want to start reading in verse number 14, and I want to preach to you this thought this morning, riding the storm out. Riding the storm out. We've got too many jumping ship in the middle of their storms. You might turn me down just a tad, Levi. I'm not sure. But we got too many quitting too soon. I want to pick up at verse number 14, and the Bible said, but not long after they had sailed, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Jump down to verse 22. I'm going to try to shorten this up just a little bit. And Paul said in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of, say the word with me, good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Anytime you see that phrase, the angel of God, that's the Lord, friend. Whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, say the next two words with me. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. You see, God's got a plan. And when God's got a plan for somebody's life, you're going to make it to fulfill that plan. He said, fear not, because I've got a plan for you. You've got to talk to Caesar. You've got to appear before Caesar. So this ship going down is not going to take your life. So fear not. Verse number 25. Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of, say the word with me again. Good cheer, for I, say that word, believe. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these, say the next word, abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Verse 44, the Bible's telling about how they made it to shore. The Bible said, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship, And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amen. All safe to land. Brother William Walker called me a couple of weeks ago. And he said, "Brother Andy, what are you doing on May the 4th? And I said, "Well, let me see." And I happened to look at my calendar. It was our first Saturday of the month. And I said, "Brother, I, other than my wife working me to death getting this wedding ready, by the way, y'all are invited to Katie's wedding Saturday at 3 o'clock. Is that right? 3? Saturday at 3 o'clock. Other than getting this wedding ready, I'll have a free day." And I said, "Do you need me to do something?" He said, "No, I got something I want to give you." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I've got garage passes and tickets to the NASCAR nationwide race on Saturday if you're interested." I said, "Let me pray about it. Yes, I'll take them." And we went to the race yesterday, and Brother Stacy Bullock called me on the way. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm wasting my time. I'm driving in the rain to go to a race that is not going to happen." Got to the race and met my buddy Norman, who lives in Panama City, and me and him hung around his motorhome a little bit watching the rain, and finally it let up just a little bit. It was just a little misty, drizzling rain. That kind of rain that will soak you before you know it. You don't even realize you're getting wet, but in essence, you're drowning. And we decided to make our way on over to the track. The race was supposed to be at 2 o'clock. We headed over there about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we're sitting in the stands, and I'm just, you know, there's nothing happening. We got ponchos on, and then I had a big red poncho, looked like Little Red Riding Hood. And we're just sitting there talking, and I'm watching people. I watch people all the time and just how they interact and react to different things. And I get to looking around that crowd after we've been sitting there for about 2 hours. I looked at Norman and I said, "What kind of idiot sits in the rain and the cold waiting for a race to start? What kind of idiot does it take?" He said, "I guess it takes idiots like me and you." I said, "Amen, brother, you're exactly right." And I don't know a whole lot about racing, only been a few times, and here's what Norman said. He said, "These people know with this damp, cold air that what's coming after the rain will be worth riding the storm out. They know that this kind of weather, what kind of race they're going to have," he said, "this is going to be a wreck fest." He said, "They're going to be piled up. I'm telling you, the garage area looked like a junkyard by the time that race was over." He said, "I'm telling you, they know that what's coming after the rain will be worth sitting through the tough part." And I'm here to tell you, Christian, hey, if you'll sit through the storm, what's coming after will be worth the wait. If you will just hang on and stick it out. And by the way, it was the best race I have ever seen in my life. If you like to see damage, amen. They wasn't but about 15 cars even finished the race. I mean, it was awesome, man. Thank God nobody got hurt, but buddy, I'm telling you, it was on. And but I was driving Norman back to his motorhome. I tell you how messy it was. I had to put my truck in four-wheel drive to get out of the parking lot. I would love to own a wrecker service and be there tomorrow when all them motorhomes try to get out of there, amen. We can make a pile of money. But it was a mess out there. But I was driving Norman back to his motorhome, and he said, "Are you glad you stayed?" I said, "Man, that's the best thing. That was exciting. Yes, I'm glad I stayed." There were several times I looked at him and said, "We're stupid. We need to leave. I mean, there ain't no sense in sitting here. They're going to call this thing, and they're not going to race." And every now and then, people would look over to the west just a little bit, and you'd see just a little ray of sunshine poking through the clouds. And Norman would say, "No, let's don't quit yet. I see a little light, amen. I see a little light shining over yonder. I think it's going to burn this cloud off, and we're going to get a race in." Hey, Christian, let me tell you something. I see a little light over yonder. I see a little light above the cloud. And honey, if you'll hang on, we're going to get the race in. Are you listening? If you'll just hang on, hey, what's coming will be worth it. What's coming will be worth it. I sat there and watched those people, and I was kind of comparing them to our church, because I watched some get up
in the middle of the misty rain. Get their little seat cushions and their little coolers and everything they'd brought in. Gather up their family and walk out of the stadium. And I said, oh my, how many have I seen gather up their stuff, get their family by the hand because of a little storm and walk out on God and walk out on the church and walk out on the things of God. I'm telling you, set still, put your poncho on, duck your head. I'm telling you, sunshine is around the corner. It always stops. Even the flood that destroyed the earth, it stopped. The sun did come out again. Things did go back to normal as we know it. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We've got some people that I know what you're going through, and I would not trade places with you for anything. I can't imagine the heartache that some of you are feeling. We've got the devil fighting in every kind of situation you can imagine. I'm talking about from health to financial to relationship. I mean, you name it, it's going on inside this room this morning. I beseech you, I beg you to set still, pull your poncho over your head, and just pray for sunshine. Give you several things this morning just straight from this passage of Scripture that will help you to ride your storm out. That will help you to ride your storm out. You don't know how bad. See, I didn't realize I was getting wet. Yeah. And I sat there without a poncho for a little while. I said, Norman, how much is them ponchos? I was shivering to the bone. I said, I'm doing one of two things. I'm getting something to cover me up and protect me from this rain, or I'm going to the house. He said, I think they're $5. I said, good, I'd give $105 for one right now. And I went and I got that poncho on, and what I didn't realize was my body heat up under that plastic built up, and all of a sudden it just got warm in there. I'm telling you, there is a warm place in the middle of the storm. If you'll just get covered up with Jesus this morning. Hey, there's more preaching this than I thought they were. Hey, man, if you just get him on you, get him in you, I'm telling you, you'd be surprised how comfortable you can be even in the storm. Paul was. Paul said, be of good cheer. They said, the boat's falling apart. He said, no problem. No problem. I got Jesus. Amen. You look at verse number 17. I'll give you these right quick, and we'll go to the house. There's about five or six of them. The Bible said, which when they had taken up, they used, say the word with me, helps. You in a storm? Look at me. Ask for help. Ask for help. The average Christian is so full of pride. And you don't want nobody to know that you're not doing as well as you're trying to make everybody think you are. You come to church, put your fake Sunday smile on, when your heart is breaking in two, when your answer and your help is only as far as you are from this altar. Amen. I love it when I see people like Brother Moody did this morning. Brother Moody went and got Anthony by the hand and said, I just want to pray with him. I loved it when Stephanie came and broken heart. Man, there's no, I cannot even begin to understand how she feels inside. And those women gathered around her and loved on her and prayed with her. Did that help? It helps. It helps. Brother Anthony's sitting here this morning. Sister Ashley is sitting here this morning. Why? Because they had some help. Somebody gathered around. Somebody prayed. Somebody fasted. Somebody took food. Somebody did this. Somebody paid bills. I'm here to tell you, you need help. It's that mental commercial say, if you don't get help at, what is it, Charter? Get help somewhere. I'm telling you, bypass Charter and go straight to Jesus and get the help you need. Hey, listen, I need help when things are good. I need help when the sun is shining and everything is okay and the bills are paid and the health is good and the relationship's good. I still need help on those days. But the times when we think we need help the least is when we need it the most. Some of you are about that far from falling out if you don't get some help. If you don't get some help. Preacher, who can help me? Jesus can. Jesus can. Sitting on each end of this second pew are two couples this morning. I had no idea they'd be sitting in the same pew this morning. Y'all shouldn't be here. Brother Rusty, you shouldn't be here. God had a divine appointment for you to meet a nut at a yard sale and invite you to church and then see you again at Walmart. Is that right? Have I got my story straight? Hey, thought y'all said you're just going to come to church. They were about to file for divorce. Leave three little babies hanging in the wind, and they decided to give God a shot, and they come to church and find out that God can help. People don't go to divorce lawyers till they come to the realization that it's past help. Jeremy and Michelle on their way, already separated, not even living in the same house. One of them or the other, I think it was Jeremy, said, hey, why don't we try as a last-ditch effort? Let's give God a chance. Amen. Michelle wasn't saved. Jeremy was. She said, what church do we go to? He said, I ain't got a clue. Let's Google. Thank God for Google. Amen. They Googled. The churches in Villa Rican, for some reason, Happy Valley came up first, I believe. And they clicked on it and looked at the website and said, that's where we got to go. They came in, I believe, sat right over there somewhere. And brother preached a message. Michelle came and got saved. Hey, I guess they slept in the same bed. I don't want to get too personal, but I guess they slept in the same bed last night under the same roof. Woo! I'm here to tell you, God can help when nothing else can. Amen. You ask any child from a broken home, do you wish mom and dad had got some help? Answer will be the same every single time. Yes. Yes. Get you some help. Get you some help. Struggling with whatever it may be, get you some help. Hey, we'll help you as best we can. But Jesus will do what we can't. He'll do what we can't. He'll take a marriage that's a flat-footed mess and put it back together again. Amen. I've seen couples who were so bitter and angry at one another that I wanted to say, y'all just need to go your separate ways. Thank God I didn't. I saw God intervene and put something bigger than bitterness back in their heart, and that's love and understanding and patience and kindness. Oh, it outweighs bitterness and anger every single time. I've watched them survive. I don't know why I'm talking about marriages. I've watched them survive adultery. I've watched them survive physical abuse. Amen. There's a couple sitting in this room this morning. Daddy went after mama with a hammer. That's pretty mad. Not only are they sitting in church, they're serving God. Are y'all listening? I'm here to tell you, God can help you. I'll never get all this preached. I may have to finish it tonight. Verse number 18. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they, say it with me, lighten the ship. Maybe you're carrying more than you ought to be carrying. Maybe you're carrying more than you ought to be carrying. Did you know you were not created to carry burdens? Did you know that? Did you know you were not created to bear sin? Do you understand that? Did you know you were not created to deal with problems and trouble? Man was created in a perfect environment. The biggest problem Adam had was figuring out what to call everything. He named everything. Man, imagine what a job that'd be. Can you imagine? God said, what do you want to call this? Looks like a rhinoceros. I'm serious. I mean, he named everything. Yeah. Duckbill platypus. That suits him, amen. He talked about it in Sunday school. Well. Amen. Seriously. That's the biggest problem he had. But then sin came along. Do you understand that was the biggest problem you had? But then sin came along?
Amen.
I thought about Mason, our grandson. He's what? A week old? Week and a half? Well, there you are. 2 weeks. 2 weeks old. That's the longest day of my life, by the way. Yours too, I'm sure. 2 weeks old. Do you know the biggest problem he has? His next bottle. Getting his diaper changed.
Amen.
That kid ain't got a worry in the world.
Right.
He don't worry about nothing. Mom and daddy's taking care of everything. And that's the way man was when he was created. He didn't have to worry about nothing.
Right.
But then sin came along.
Right.
Same thing in your life. You didn't have to worry about nothing. But then sin came along.
Amen.
Sin is at the root of your every trouble, your every trial, your every heartache.
Amen.
It's sin. They blame it on this and they blame it on that. No, it's sin.
Amen.
Well, we just grew apart. I'm so sick of hearing that mess. You're stupid.
Amen,
you didn't grow apart. You let sin in your heart.
That's right.
You let sin in your life.
Amen.
And sin will drive a wedge. If it'll drive a wedge between you and God, it'll drive a wedge between you and your wife.
That's right.
It'll drive a wedge between you and your church. It'll drive a wedge between you and your co-workers. Sin will mess you up.
Amen.
Lighten the ship. Lighten the ship. Do you confess your sins? You can do that right here this morning.
Yes, sir.
You can unload.
Amen.
You can unload. I forgot what it was I was toting up here decorating in the gym for the wedding the other day, and I was carrying something, and I thought, I've got to set this down. I can't go any further. I'm just going to have to set this down for a second and get a breath. I know what it was. I was loading up a piece of pressure-treated privacy fence that my wife deemed necessary. And I was toting that fence, and it's 8 foot wide, and my arms are 6 foot wide, and it was just awkward, and I thought, I can't go any further. I got to set this down. Because if I don't set this down, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to drop this and break it, or I'm going to break me. And that's where some of y'all are. You're carrying something. You've already carried it further than you should have. And you need to unload it this morning. You need to set it down right now where you are, where you can get a breath and get your strength back. And don't even bother picking it up again. I set it down against the back of my truck and I thought, it looks good there. Are you listening to me this morning? Not only did they get some help, but they lightened the ship. To lighten the ship mean they had to throw something overboard. There's something you could throw overboard that would help your situation this morning. My goodness. Verse 22, Paul said, and now I exhort you to be of, say it with me, good cheer. Cheer up. 24, saying, fear not. Fear not. Hey, cheer up. It ain't as bad as you think. There is nothing God cannot do. There is nothing God cannot fix. If He can't fix it, it ain't broke. I'm here to tell you the Lord can handle your situation. He can take what you think is hopeless and help it. You know what, Brother Anthony? You said that God does everything for a reason. I watched the Lord build faith in your son. I watched the Lord do a work in your boy's heart. He knows God in a way. He was saved before, but now he has a relationship with the Lord that he did not have before, because he stood over your body in doubt that you would ever walk out of that hospital alive. Hey, he had you as good as dead, and he watched God do what he thought could not be done. Hallelujah, somebody help me this morning. I watched his tone change, Brother Freddie, am I right? I watched his demeanor and I watched his attitude change. I watched him go from, boy, it ain't good, to, I believe he's going to be all right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be of good cheer this morning. Ask for some help. Lighten your ship. Be of good cheer. And don't be afraid. The Bible said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're living in fear this morning, that's not of God. That's straight from the booger man's living room.
Amen.
I'm just going to leave a bunch out. I just want to give you this morning. In verse 25, Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Watch this next statement. For I what? I believe God. I believe God. Listen, I said, get you some help. Lighten your ship. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid, and have some faith. Have some faith. Think about it seriously for a minute. Has God already fixed something bigger in your life than what's wrong now?
Amen.
Has God already fixed something bigger in your life than what's wrong now? Brother Rusty, there's thousands of homes empty. Just needing somebody to move into them. You can get another house. For some reason, God's chose to leave you where you are. And they know what I'm talking about. But you can't get another Stacy. God only made one of them. You ought to shout right there. God only made one of them. You don't get another. You get another house. You can get another wife. But it won't be that one. It won't be the one God gave you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me, Brother Jeremy?
Yeah.
You can get another job, you can get another house, but you can't get another Michelle.
Yeah.
You ought to have some faith.
Yeah.
God took care of that, He can take care of this. Yes, every time I doubt, I look at my son. Every time I doubt, I remember the day I walked into the hospital and saw Brother Anthony. I promise you, you wouldn't believe it by looking at him now. But Brother Freddie, his head was that big around, wasn't it? His eyes were swollen shut. He had all that fluid on his brain. And the first, I was looking at you, brother, but I saw my boy in the same condition. I could see my son laying in that bed just as clear as a bell. And I heard Anthony Jr. standing beside me saying, preacher, it ain't good. I don't think he's probably not going to make it. I'm in the medical profession. I understand what's going on. They don't come out of this. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm looking in the face of Levi, and I'm going, my son did.
Yeah.
My son did. My son made it through it. Hey, I believe God, and I had hope from God because of what I'd already seen God do in my past. Every one of us is a testimony. I'm a testimony. You're a testimony. Biggest miracle of all, He saved us. If you're born again, hey, that was the biggie in your life. That first bad wreck they called yesterday, they had yesterday, it was a 12-car pileup. And at Talladega, when they're always waiting for the big one. Always, it's a super speedway. They're running faster, and they're bump drag. They're pushing one another around the track, and they're always talking about the big one. Well, they said, here it is. This is the big one. This is the big one. Man, when the big one comes, I remember what God did with the last big one. Amen. That was the big one in my life. And He brought that little baby up here this morning. Allowed me to introduce my new grandson. Hey, I'm here to tell you, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God pay this building off.
Amen.
I believe God can pay this building off. Had one of our dear men just these past couple of weeks talking to me. I've been praying, Lord, help us some way to put carpet in this place. One of my men called, said, Brother Eddie, God put on my heart, I want to put carpet in church. Amen. I know that's not a big thing to you, but it is to me. I believe Him. Brother Freddie, I believe Him. I believe He can pay His building off.
Amen.
I believe He can put your marriage together. I believe He can get your kids out of the mess they're in. Hey, I'm telling you, I believe Him this morning.
Amen.
We just need somebody to grab hold of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. And, amen. Just trust Him.
Amen.
I can't trust you and you can't trust me. At my best, I'll let you down. And at your best, you'll let me down. But I'm talking about a God you can trust this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Can I give you two more? Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion, that's the soldier in charge, and to the soldiers, except these, say the next word with me, abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. In other words, your only hope is to stay in the boat. Your only hope this morning is to stay in the boat. Don't jump out now. He said, preacher, it's looking bad. It's going down. Don't jump out now. In Mark chapter number 4, the disciples were in the storm. Jesus was in the boat with them. And the Bible said that the boat was now full. That's as bad as it gets. When your boat is full of water, hey, this was before they had Ranger boats that would float cut in half. Y'all listening? When the boat got full, the boat went down. Boy, I guarantee you, when they landed on that Gadarene shore, I bet them disciples was looking at each other going, man, I'm glad we didn't bail out.
Yeah.
We'd have missed him calming the storm, and we'd have missed seeing this demonic man cleansed of them demons. We'd have missed all this if we'd have jumped out. Hey, I'm thinking about what some people who are sitting at home this morning are missing today.
Amen.
Are you listening? Man, I'm scared what I might miss. I'm afraid of what I might miss. Man, I'm telling you, like an idiot, If it hadn't been that I sat in the rain waiting on a race yesterday, I'd have laid out this morning and let Brother Charles preach. I'm sure glad I didn't. But I thought, man, I ain't gonna lay out of church sick because I sat in the rain yesterday. I just couldn't deal with it. I'm going. Amen. I deserve this. But thank God. Hey, it was worth it. Getting this message out of it was worth it. God talks to me different than he talks to other people. Some of y'all are smart. You get it from books. I get it from NASCAR. Amen. Don't bail out.
Amen.
Yeah, but I got my feelings hurt. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to get your feelings hurt no matter where you go.
Amen.
Your family hurts your feelings. You don't get rid of them.
That's right.
How many times has your boss hurt your feelings? You'll just go in and quit tomorrow.
You're right.
Bless God, I wouldn't put up with that. He raised his voice at me. Quit. Quit. My children don't like their teacher. Keep them home. I wouldn't put up with that 5 seconds. That's how you react to the church.
You're right, preacher.
Bless God, why don't you treat everything else like that? Well, brother, they just said something I didn't like. Somebody wrote something about me on Facebook. Wah, 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 wah. Somebody called a wambulance. Give him a jaw here. Make you feel better. Are y'all listening? Don't jump out of the boat. I know it gets rocky. I know the clouds roll in and it gets rough. But I'm telling you, what's on the other end of the storm? Oh, God only knows. Don't miss it. I'm sure glad last Wednesday night. And I apologize if that wasn't a blessing to you, but I wanted to do that for my mother. I guarantee you she's glad she hung in there. She sat there and watched all them bus kids come out of that bus we built up here when I was calling their name. These are people she picked up 30-something years ago. Make it 40-something years. I was 4 years old. I'm 48 now. So 44 years ago, she started picking up some of them people on that bus. And she's still around to see the fruit and enjoy the testimonies. Old brother J.P. Denton, Brother Johnny, he was one of them I had on that bus. Everywhere JP goes, he tells everybody, I wouldn't be saved, I wouldn't be going to heaven if it wasn't for Sandra White pestering me to death. Every Saturday she'd go by and she'd give David and Dorsey and Donnie bubblegum and pick them up on the bus on Sunday. But before she'd leave, she'd shake her finger in JP's face and say, you better get saved, boy, you gonna go to hell. He was rough. And that thing got to wearing on him. Mama, he told it up here the other night. That thing got to wearing on him. Mama shook that little finger in his face and preached to him a little bit. That thing bothered him so bad he had to go find the preacher.
Yeah.
Same one I went to,
yeah.
Jason. And get saved.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't jump out. It's going to get good.
Yeah,
it's going to get real good. I'd give anything if we had all these here this morning who are out. I'm not talking about the ones that God's moved on to other places and are serving God. I'm talking about the ones who just jumped out of the boat. The ones who jumped out of the boat. Listen, you know what you get when you jump out of the boat? Ask Jonah what you get when you jump out of the boat. You get swallowed up. This world will swallow you up. Verse number 44, I got to quit. Let me look at verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. They wanted to throw all the prisoners overboard and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces. If you got a broken piece, you got something. They found something to hold on to. And I know I just preached the message with the rope about holding on, but find something to hold on to. Let go of the junk and grab on something good. Man, when you're drowning in the sea, don't grab a brick. Some of y'all are holding on to an anchor and complaining that you're going down. Grab something that'll float and hold on. I'm telling you, that book will float you in. If you'll hold on to that Bible with dear life, that old King James Bible will float you ashore. Hang on to church. She'll float. Amen. She's buoyant. She'll make it. Hang on. Don't let go of the boat. Let go of the sin. Let go of everything else. Hang on to something that'll float. Yeah, but it's messed up and it's broken. Does it still float? Grab you a good song. Man, that song Ashley and them sung, that's one of my favorite all-time songs. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Boy, I've held on to that song so many times. I didn't think it was going to be all right. And I can't sing a lick, but I sing it to myself going down the road. I've been through enough to know He'll be enough. Get you some scripture and hold on. Get hold of your sanctuary and hold on. Get you a good song and hold on. Grab hold of your Savior and hold on. He'll float. He'll float. He can't sink. He walked on it.
Amen.
What's that song old Peg McCamey sung about him? What's over your head is under your feet, is under His feet. What's over your head is under His feet. He defies the law of gravity. Hold on to Him this morning. Hold on. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Ride the storm out. These people I preached to this morning that I ain't got a clue what's going on in your life, but this was for you. This was for you. Ashley, y'all come and get us a song this morning, whatever God puts on your heart. Miss Elizabeth, I don't know. Y'all need Elizabeth? Yes. Sister Elizabeth, if you'd come.